tornadoes forming down in Oklahoma. And they've had probably more tornadoes this year than they've had for the last few years. So there's a lot of trials going on. God is not the author of those things. You can't blame those on God. If you do, you have the wrong idea of the whole thing. God doesn't bring tragedy. God brings triumph. That is what he does. You have victory in Jesus, and he doesn't bring these things. But God will use these things. Before we're Christians, God will use a trial to get our attention. He'll use it. He didn't bring it, but he'll use it to get our attention, to let us know there is a God that cares, a God that loves. That he takes us back to the cross of Calvary, where God that shed his blood for us, that we would be free from sin and free from the things of this world. And he tells us he's prepared for the next. But then for Christians, what does God do? Because Christians have trials. You wouldn't know it if you watched a lot of the TV programs, Christian TV programs. You'd get the idea that Christians should never have trials. But that is absolutely not correct. Because if you study the Bible, you look at people like Peter and Paul and all of those fellows, and they had all kinds of trials. Things that you and I wouldn't want to go through, including being put in jail, being persecuted, being beaten, going through all kinds of things for Jesus Christ. And so the fact that Christians never have trials would certainly not be correct. Peter, if you'll remember, one of the reasons for trials is to show us what's inside of us. Peter didn't have a clue. He said to Jesus, "I'll protect you. Everybody else will run, but I'll stay with you with sword in my hand, and I'll defend you to the death." And Jesus said to him, he said, "Before the next 24 hours, you're going to deny me three times." Peter denied him. He went away in defeat. He went away in tears. He was broken. But through that trial, Peter became stronger. Peter found out what was inside of him. He found out that he couldn't do it on his own. He found out he needed God. And what sometimes we go through trials as Christians for us to understand that we need God for everything we do. There's things we can do, but they're not going to accomplish things for eternity without the presence and the knowledge and the Spirit of the living God. Only God knows our heart, so he's going to allow. Yes, he does allow these things to happen. He allows these things to happen, even though they come from the enemy, they come from our own heart. But he allows these to happen to show us very definitely what is inside of our heart. Now, another thing he wants to show us, now listen carefully, he wants to show us if we just have head knowledge or we have heart knowledge. There's a whole lot of people in churches today, and I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just saying in the church in general, worldwide church, they're there for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes they go because it's just a nice place to be. Sometimes they go because their friends go. Sometimes they go, well, there's all kinds of reasons. But the issue is that religion is head knowledge only. People with religion do not know Jesus Christ. They just have a religion. And they're relying on some religion to get them to heaven instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, religion without the reality of it, religion with only head knowledge, is not going to get anybody to heaven. But I think religion is good because it's the first step. Now you go the next step to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And when you do that, what you have in your head will go down into your heart. It'll be there for eternity. It'll be there forever. So sometimes the trials show us what's in our heart. Sometimes the trials show us whether we just have head knowledge or we have heart knowledge. Are we just living it on Sunday or are we living it during the week? Are we just think it's a good idea and we read our Bible? Or do we practice it and allow God to work through us on a daily basis? That's what a trial is going to show you. a trial will either defeat you or a trial will make you stronger. And Peter became stronger because of his trial, and he was totally defeated, but he came out of the ashes of that trial, and he was strong, and he preached really the first message after Pentecost. And so it was important that we get stronger in trials instead of we get weaker or we become defeated. But God will allow trials in your life, and when you go through one, you'll say, I don't understand why I'm going through this. Well, you'll find out when you're going through it if you just stick with God, hang on to Him until you come out the other side. Some trials are terribly dark. I mean, you're in darkness. You can't seem to do anything. You seem to be immobile. You are full of all kinds of things, but what you want to be. And it is a tough trial. It's a tough thing. Finding God and finding the things of God is like mining gold or panning gold. If you ever see people, they'd be in an area where there's gold or out on a creek, and they take gravel and rocks and hopefully some gold out of the creek bed, and they sift it through a sifter, and hopefully they have gold left. There's a lot of work to that. There's a lot of sifting. There's a lot of dirt. It's a dirty job. You sweat, and it's not easy, but God said that those that diligently seek Him will find Him. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, so they're designed to get religion and works out of us and Christ and then working for Him in us. Because religion is just working and trying to get to heaven, but Christianity is having Christ, then doing the works of God and moving on in the Lord. None of us are prepared for heaven when we get saved. Are you listening? We're not prepared for heaven when we get saved. We have this idea, okay, I'm saved. Now just go ahead and live like I've been living it, and then when I die, I'll go to be with Jesus. That is not the issue. That is not what the Bible says. Once we get saved, then we are babes in Christ, and we have to mature and grow in the Lord and prepare for heaven. Yes, we'll go at whatever stage once we're saved, but the point is, the more mature you are, the better it's going to be as far as rewards and etc. in heaven. Now, the perfect example of that is the nation of Israel. If in the Old Testament you see they were in Egypt, Egypt represents the world. They were in the world. They were in bondage in the world. It's a picture of being lost in the world. Then God brought a deliverer. His name was Moses. He was a type of Jesus Christ. And Moses came and through a series of miracles. I said a series of miracles. He brought them out of Egypt and brought them out into the desert. He didn't take them to the promised land, but he said, that's where I want you to go. I'm taking you out of Egypt. I want you to go into the promised land, but you're not ready. You're not ready. You have to learn. That's why we're doing this training and this manuals things. We're learning the basic, simple things of God that we are to practice in our everyday life. Now, what's the promised land? It is not heaven. It is the Spirit-filled, mature Christian life. That's what it is. It's where God wants to get you to, where you'll be living for Him, loving Him, and serving Him on a daily basis in this world until He comes for us. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Now, they went through all kinds of things in the desert. And actually, to tell you the truth, Israel failed. And they're still failing. They haven't got there yet. And they won't get there until Jesus comes again, sets up His kingdom, and then they're going to start doing what they should have done thousands of years ago. And we're not any better than they are, so don't say, well, they're bad news and we got it together. That's not the way it is. We're getting it together, you see. So what God wants us to learn is what the promised land is acting like Jesus in this world. That's exactly what it is. Now, Moses did a whole bunch of miracles. And what did Jesus do when he come on the scene? He did a whole bunch of miracles. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He did all kinds of things, all kinds of miracles. And what he was saying was, where I came from, this is normal. And I want it to be normal in your life. That's what he said. That's what the Bible says. That's what the whole New Testament is all about, is getting us out of Egypt and into the promised land. And eventually, go to be with Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, we couldn't save ourselves, and you can't live for Christ by yourself. It can't be done. And so along comes a trial, and you say, oh my goodness, I thought I was saved. Yes, you are saved. Now you're going to be matured. You're going to start growing up. You're going to start learning how to live in this world like Jesus, and you do it through trials and tribulations. Now, if you have heart knowledge of Jesus Christ instead of just head knowledge, when you go through a trial, you will come out stronger out the other side. Now, that's what it's all about. Now, why if you have heart knowledge? Because in your heart you know the last page, hallelujah, we're victorious. Are you listening to me? It don't make any difference how bad the trial, doesn't make any difference what you lost. It doesn't make any difference who you lost. It doesn't make any of that. What important is, you know the last page, we're going to be with Jesus Christ, hallelujah. So we're not going into this trial without any weapons, without any tools, without any information. We're going to go through the trial with the information of Jesus Christ. Now, so we're going to go through a trial. They're designed to get us out of religion into Christ. Religion is trying to get to heaven by works. Christianity is getting to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, what happens to a lot of people that just have head knowledge, what they do, they try to look, when they go through a trial, they look at the past, all the past experiences, all the bad things they went through, and usually they'll defeat themselves before they ever get started in the trial because they're going to look at all the defeats they had in the past and they're not going to be looking forward to what God can do in the future. Now, they're looking at past experiences instead of Jesus Christ and His Word. That's the issue. Now, if you only have head knowledge and you go through a trial, you'll listen to everything imaginable, and a lot of it won't mean a thing. What you need to be listening to is the Word of God, Christian friends, and so forth, continue on in church. I can tell you the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. If somebody goes to church and then they start going through trials, they fade away and never come back. They only had head knowledge. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Amen. You say, why? What happened to them? They only had a head knowledge. They didn't have a heart knowledge. If they had a heart knowledge, they'd be stronger when they came out the other side, and they'd be coming hoping they can help somebody else that would come that are going to go through the same trial. Are you listening? You see, that's what this is all about. You ought to welcome a trial in your life if you're a Christian, because it's going to make you stronger. I didn't say ask for one, but if it comes, don't start grumbling and complaining. That's what Israel did. Every time they get to a trial they'd never been to before, they'd murmur and complain. We want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to what they were more comfortable in their past life. Problem is, they had head knowledge and not heart knowledge. The Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I know about the president, but I don't know him personally. A lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally. I remember we sang that song in the garden a while ago, and when I was a little kid, I was in a church in a small town. We were visiting my aunt and uncle, and I don't remember anything they preached, but I remember one thing, that song. I remembered that song. I never forgot that song. about Jesus. And when I got saved, I really remembered that song. Are you listening to me? Yes. If you got heart knowledge, no one thing's going to take it away from you. If you got heart knowledge of Jesus Christ, nobody or nothing can take that away from you in this life. Absolutely nothing. Death won't even take it away from you. Are you listening to me? It's there forever. But if we only know the Lord, you know, some people know the Lord in one way. They don't know Him in another way. They know Him as healer because they've been healed. They might know Him as comforter because they've been comforted, and that's okay. But we need to learn these things in other areas of our life too. If we've been delivered from something, then He's our deliverer. And I'm here to tell you, we can ask Him to be any of those things anytime. And what we have to do is trust the Lord enough to experience Him in life in whatever we're going through, good or bad. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. If you continue to roll over the same problems in your mind all the time, particularly past ones, you will have no joy in your life. I'm going to say that again. If you continue to mull over in your mind and go over in your mind past problems day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you will not have joy in your life even if you're a Christian. Amen. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. You know, it's like, oh, I never did it all. Oh, I had such a bad time back there 10 years ago. Oh, Jesus is alive today, hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I'm not really making fun of anybody, but I'm just telling you, we have a tendency to get into this stuff, particularly if you're around people like that. You know, you have a tendency to do the same thing. You have no joy in your life. You won't enjoy anything. You know what you'll really do? Just be glad the day's over, and you're going to hate to see tomorrow because you're not going to have any joy there either. And there's a lot of Christians that live that way. You know, what we ought to be a person that somebody enjoy being around, because we're Christians and we know Jesus Christ. Now, also, I'm going to tell you something else. This is going to be a big news flash to some. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know everything. That's why God's got more than one person on the earth. You know, some knows this is about this, somebody else knows about that. You don't have to know everything. You drive yourself crazy and God if you're a Christian, if you get all shook because you don't know everything. And everything doesn't have to be perfect. That's right. God has supplied us with what we need. He has supplied us with what we need. We have what we need. We just need to use it. We need to get into it. We need to be, and so forth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. When all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. We know about that scripture, but living it's a whole nother ball game. You see, because you need to get away from people that discourage you all the time, and are looking for the bad things instead of the good things. We got people that could see an ant on the floor and couldn't see an elephant right in front of them. You understand what I'm saying? Now that's a fact, and some people be talking about the ant instead of the elephant, and the elephant runs right over them. You understand what I'm saying? And we let these little things overwhelm us, which have really makes no difference in life. And, you know, interesting thing about Job. Job had three friends, and all they did, Job was in big trouble. He lost everything. He was probably the richest man on the earth. He lost everything, lost his family, should have lost his wife, but he lost his family, lost his cattle, lost his sheep, lost everything he had, and he lost the whole works, and all through the whole thing, he didn't know where he was at, because he knew about God. He knew about God. I mean, he'd been taught God from this high up, and while everything was going good, he'd even talk about God every once in a while. But then he lost everything, and his three so-called friends came and said, "Job, the whole mess is your fault. You're a sinner." That's big help. And then his wife said, "You know, you might as well just go die." She was another tremendous help. And so this went on and on and on and on. And finally, this conversation with his three friends, and God said, "Okay, Job, who made the universe? Who made the stars? Who made the sky?" I was talking about this the other night. I think it was Wednesday night. It's a very interesting thing that every single star and every single planet and every single galaxy is out there for a purpose. And if you took one of those things or a group of stars out of that thing, the Earth wouldn't even survive, because everything is independent is dependent on everything else, and it's all dependent on God. And God put every star up there for a reason. He named every one of them, and he put every one of them up there for a reason. And if those stars weren't where they're at, in the right place, in the right galaxy, at the right time, Earth would not exist. Now, isn't that interesting? And so God said, "Who made all this stuff?" He basically said, "Quit listening to your friends and start listening to me. Because I created everything there is. I created all that stuff you lost." And basically later he said, "I can recreate all that stuff you lost." But finally Job said, listen to this. Finally Job said, when he got to the bottom of everything, he says, "Lord, before this trial I knew you, I knew about you, and now I see you." That's the difference. I knew about you, but now I see you. There's a lot of people know about God, but they really don't know God. And so, where does it start? It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of it, not the ending. It's the beginning. And so, trials come along, and we go through these trials, we go through these things, and when we start studying the Bible, we understand that God works by laws. He has a law. And it's very simply this way. It's not complicated. We don't live by the law. We live by grace. But the issue is there's laws in this universe. The Bible says very simply, if you become a giver, it'll be given unto you. That's what it says. If you become a giver, it'll be given unto you. If you hoard everything you got, that's what you're going to get. But if you are a giver, it'll be given back from God to you, and He has a much larger reserve than we do. And you go by the Ten Commandments. If you break the Ten Commandments, if you break one of those laws, then there's a consequence to breaking those laws. God put them out there to show us the things that we were not, some things we were to do and some things we were not to do. And all you got to do is go by the laws of God and go by the way this universe works and go by what God has given us, and you will see the results that you want to have. Now, some of us and some people are kind of like vacuum cleaners or some electrical appliance that's never plugged in and never used. I can go out and buy a brand new vacuum cleaner, and I can take the thing out of the box, shine it all up, put it in my closet, and every once a week open the closet door and say, boy, that's a beautiful vacuum cleaner. It's not doing a doggone thing. It's not doing anything. It's just sitting in there looking good. And there's a lot of people just sitting around looking good. But they aren't plugged into God. They aren't doing what God called them to do. They don't even have a clue as to what it is. And they're living their own life, self-centered, individual life. And they're going to end up at the end of the whole thing. God opens the door and said, oh my, isn't that vacuum cleaner looking good? God says, love will be returned to you. That's the law of God. You love people, it'll be returned to you. So what do? We love somebody that didn't love us back. We said, I'm not going to love anybody anymore. I'm just going to protect myself. I'm going to put a big shield around me. Nobody's getting through this thing. And you're in there miserable because you've broken the law of God. He says, love, and you'll have love returned to you. Given, it should be given unto you. Now, there's some laws of God. They're very simple, not complicated for Christians. God said, I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to believe the Word of God. I want you to meditate on the Word of God. And I want you to do the Word of God. Some of us, we kind of pick and choose. I love to hear the Word of God. We love that part. But when we get down to doing the part, we don't do anything. And then so we got some other laws. God said, I want you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're then going to become a child of God, and you'll be mine forever. And then he says, I want you to be baptized because I want you to publicly announce that you belong to me. And then he said, I want you to continue to be strengthened, to continue on growing. So I want you to take the Lord's Supper every chance you can take it, every time you can take it. I want you to be there and partake of the Lord's Supper. And if you do these things, then I'll begin to bless you. I'll grow you up, and you will become a mature Christian, and you will enter the promised land. That's what God says. And yet people just kind of mess around with that stuff. They pick and choose. And they wonder, I wonder why this Christian life's not working for me. Aren't you glad you came? Now, that's why people fail in life. That's why Christians fail. They might fail in life. They won't fail in death because they're going to be with Christ. But you can certainly fail in this life. Now, God says, you get in tune with me. You get in tune with the Word of God. I will speak to you. I will show you things that you do not know. That's what he said. Now, most of us don't receive this stuff because we really don't believe what the Word of God says. We really get down to it. It comes down to unbelief. We don't believe God when he says, if you love, it'll be returned to you. If you give, it'll be returned to you, etc. We just don't believe God. A trial is designed for you to hold on to God through it, so when you come out the other side, you're going to believe God, and you're going to be stronger. Now, you'll go through things and say, I don't know how I'm going to be stronger after this. Well, I guarantee you will if you hang on to God. I've gone through things where I think all I could do was hold on to his little finger. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been through things with God where everything was just like black. I couldn't hardly see my hand in front of my face, but I knew God was there. And I came out the other side, and I became stronger. I've been through a lot of things. I've had people tell me everything imaginable. Tell me I ought to quit. I've had people tell me, as far as I was concerned, I was fired. I've had people tell me that they were going to pick me up and throw me out of the door of this church. I've had all kinds of things over the 30-some-odd years I've been here. You cannot imagine the stuff. And but I'm going to tell you this, I'm just getting stronger. Hallelujah. I'm getting stronger. I'm not going to stumble into heaven. I'm going to be running that way. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Because of the trials of God. Not because when it was going good, it's when it wasn't going so good and I had to hang on to Jesus. You see. And that's the issue. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a lot of other people the same way that went through trials and tribulations and are strong and helped me. And hopefully I helped a few. And that's what we do. And you got to be around people. You got to be involved. You got to keep on learning. You never stop learning. I never stop learning. I heard about somebody the other day that had an interesting idea, and I'm not even sure what they all are, on the Lord's Supper. And I want to learn everything I can. I want you to know everything that you can possibly know about the Lord's Supper, because I think there's a lot more about it we don't even know. I think we're just scratching the surface of the thing, and I want to get into the thing. I want everything that God has can give me in this life. I want it. Are you listening to me? That's what I want. And when I get it, you'll get it. Because I've been learning ever since I've been in this thing. And I'm still learning. And I hope to keep on learning. I pray my eyes are good because I want to keep reading. I want to keep studying. I want to keep learning. Are you listening to me? And I listen to everybody that I think is speaking the truth. I catch somebody on Christian television, I think speaking the truth, I'm going to listen to that truth. Because he's been through experiences I haven't been through, and God showed him some things that I haven't been through, so I don't understand. So I can learn from him, and therefore I can help you. That's why I do what I do. That's why I keep going with this whole thing. Now, what we have a tendency to do, if it doesn't work like we think so, we said, I'm never going to try that again. Well, how many ever said that in this place? I'm never going to try that again. That's most of us. You see? Well, you try again and again and again and again. How many times did it take Thomas Edison to invent the light bulb? It was something like 10,000 times. 10,000 times he failed. The next time. That's the result right there. Took him 10,000 times. Failed, 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 failed. But he didn't give up. Didn't quit. Kept on going. You know what happens if you give up? You know what happens? You start grumbling, complaining, your heart gets hard, and then you can't learn anything. And that's the problem. And then you end up grumbling about everything in the place. I'm not talking about here. I'm just talking about wherever. And you become grumblers and complainers. You know why? You got a hard heart. You know why you look for every little thing you can find wrong instead of looking for what's right? You got a hard heart. And God wants to bring will allow these trials in your life to break that hard heart, soften it up, so he can come in and be what he wants to be in your life. That's what trials are all about. Sometimes we have trials because we did something wrong. Sometimes we have trials because somebody we know did something wrong, or the owner of the company did something wrong. There's all kinds of reasons to have trials. I worked for a guy one time, owned this company, and it was pretty good, and I was getting paid pretty decent. And he went out in Las Vegas and gambled the whole dumb thing away. One poker game. Gambled the business away. I didn't cause the problem. But I was in the problem. Because that's where I was working. And so it's not always your fault, whatever it is. But life is just one self-centered experience unless you find Christ, unless you start moving in Him and leaving the past behind and moving towards the promised land, and then you really begin to understand what the Christian life's about. Most people have a problem is that they're not following God's plan, they're following their plan. And you know what happens in those situations? You get in a trial and you don't depend on Jesus to go through that trial. Guess what happens? That trial will come again. And if you don't trust Jesus as a Christian, when that trial comes, God will bring another one. You know what they call that in the Old Testament? Going around the mountain. Went around the first time, he didn't learn. Back around the mountain you go. What they kept doing was going around Mount Horeb, where God gave the Ten Commandments. For 40 years, they just kept going around the same mountain. 40 years. Trials are designed to bring us out of those things, not put us in. You just go around the mountain one more time. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures here this morning. I want you to look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. It's before Hebrews. And I'll give you a little bit of time to find it there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Now, if you haven't been reading your Bible, I've learned lately, the best thing, I get more fun reading the Bible out loud. It's just fun. It really is. You just think about it. You're speaking out loud the Word of God, and God came from outside of our time domain, spoke into our time domain. We have it, and now we can speak it, and whenever you speak the Word of God, it brings life. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If nobody has ever said, I don't want to hear about that, you're God, you're not living in Jesus Christ. If you've never been turned down by anybody, you're not living in Jesus Christ. Look at that. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's what it says. But evil men, the seducers, shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You're always going to have those folks. You're always going to have people that don't care anything about God, don't want anything about God. Do you know why God's going to allow 7 years of tribulation? That's going to be the worst trial that ever came on this earth. We haven't seen anything yet. In my opinion, we're not going to go through it, but people disagree, that's okay. But the issue is, it's going to be the worst trial ever came on this earth, and what it's going to do is separate the believers from the non-believers. That's what it's going to do. It's going to separate the believers from the non-believers. That's what that trial is going to do. It's going to separate those that are cursing God. What it's going to do, there's either going to be people, it's going to make people cry out to God, or they're going to be shaking their fist at God and cursing Him. That's what that trial is going to do. The 7-year tribulation period. It says so. There's going to be people hiding from God and hiding in caves and hiding under rocks, and they're going to be shaking their fist at God, and all these trials come and they just keep on cursing and keep on shaking their fist at God. And that's what that trial is going to do, and that's what it's supposed to do in your life. It's to take all the head knowledge and stuff that isn't going anywhere in your life and put you in to the heart knowledge of God that will train you and prepare you for this life and what God has for you. That's what this whole thing is all about. Now, I don't know about you, but I get tired of going around the same mountain all the time. It gets old. You despair of life. You say, what is the purpose of living? I'm just going around the same mountain all the time. Just going through the same stuff. One day is just like the next day. And I don't even know why I should be alive, because one's just like the other. Well, the issue is, you get into Jesus Christ, and you'll be excited about getting up the next day. You'll be excited about living another day. You'll be excited about living another week, another month, another year, because you're going to be filled with the things of God. He's going to put you in some exciting things in life. You're going to hear from the God that never dies. You're going to hear from the God that never has a bad day. I'm going to tell you this. The cross was not a bad day for Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Because he went through that trial for you and me. What?
Voluntarily.
Yes, he did. Voluntarily went through that trial. It was not a good. It was not a bad day for Jesus. We ought to be celebrating that time. Celebrating the cross of Jesus Christ. Celebrating the burial of Jesus Christ. Celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he did it for us.
I'll tell you, Pastor, it was a bad day for the devil.
Yes, it was. That's right. Bad day for the devil. And we got to start looking at this thing like it is. We're not here to feel sorry for Jesus. Are you listening to me? We ought to be celebrating and praising his name forever. Hallelujah. Let's do it, Gary. Let's start. We're going to celebrate Jesus Christ. And let's stand before the Lord. And I'm going to finish this.